Good evening, everyone. It is Wednesday night, and it's about 7 o'clock
really?
Here on the west coast of California. And boy, do we have a continual opportunity to just flop in front of us, and tonight is another one. This particular class is the ABD Guidebook by E.J. Gold. And we did some on the frontis matter that he had.
Right.
But a few weeks ago, we started in on the thrilling, the books themselves. And we had a few weeks of book one of presented to us by a very dynamic group. And if you go on the website, wingsofchaos.com, you're going to see their material housed there.
Oh, you posted our documents?
Not yours.
Oh, okay.
That was book one,
late
in the day.
Okay.
So, but tonight is an interesting time. So we're going to proceed to open up the space. And when the space is open, I'm then going to turn it over to Ivan to help us. But right now, where we are going is we're going to open to book of the American Book of the Dead guidebook. And that is, and then, so we're going to begin that now. And Ivan, to this material.
Okay, well, I thought I would do a brief introduction first. We are going to start our presentation by reading the book, since it's only 19 verses. Many of our meetings as a group, we opened with a full reading of the book. It takes about 5 to 10 minutes. And it's worth doing as many times, I would say as many times as you can possibly do, reading aloud and having it read to you. Then just to give just a little gloss on how we're going to proceed here. We'll undoubtedly go for 2 weeks and possibly longer. This initial presentation is going to be begin with a sort of summary and overview after we read the book aloud by Weitz here. And then we're going to go into a little more of an analysis, some deconstruction of the sections of the second book, Rahman, and that we'll all be participating in giving some comparisons. We did, the members of this group did a lot of research in sacred traditions and sacred texts, and this includes Buddhist texts, Sanskrit. I looked into the Psalms for parallel texts on compassion and unconditional love. And so we're going to make reference to some of those. And basically, there's a great deal of research that members of this group did. I was very impressed with the research, especially by those Indian scholars who are participating. And we've posted, actually David will post after, I think after tonight, probably tomorrow or sometime. He is going to post this, our notes for this presentation, and then along with an archive, a much larger amount of text, which are quotes and sections and pieces and with some commentary from different sacred texts. And I think you'll find those quite interesting to browse through. That's something that you would do on your own time. There isn't any way, even in two or three classes, that we could actually read all of those sacred texts, reference to them in our presentation. And then I would like to say that we probably won't. Ordinarily, I would love to do a question and answer format for this presentation, especially since we're starting about a quarter of the way into the hour. Do this entire presentation and have you either type questions or comments into the log on live stream or just jot them down, hold on to them till after our presentation. And then I would like to say that we would like to go on to another document that David's going to post, which are more personal anecdotes having to do with compassion. In other words, several of us were quite struck or quite moved particular parts of this book, just as in the Ulla group, people had particular words or verses that they responded to. So we want to talk in a second separate class about more personal on the subject, on the book. So we want to start right now. Alchemy and the whites here are not going to participate because of the difficulty of this. We're going to read the book, starting with Michelle. We'll go David, Jana, Pat, and then back to Michelle. Yeah, one verse each. So.
And will we say the number?
Yes, I would read the number of the verse. So, and I'm going to hold the phone for Michelle as well.
The second book of the dead, called the Book of Hochachman. I am Hochachman, the compassionate. I have compassion even for those who do not please me. My compassion is love without return, and my love flows outward and needs no response.
Two. And I feel for all who live in the world of matter, flame of living love. And I leave no one untouched with the light of love, even those who disobey the law of life. For no soul shall be lost.
Three. And the actions of the world are no concern to me, for only that which is in truth do I have concern.
Go ahead, Michelle. Read the next one. Mm-hmm. Michelle. Here, we'll go. We'll go here.
We're going to read it.
You reading?
Four.
Four. And the existence of the world of matter is enough to bring my compassion to it and within, and to release this compassion only necessary to open one's heart to receive it.
Mine is the love which does not come from another, but from within. My compassion is without pain, for I am not that which is of love.
Six. And my compassion is within all things by their very existence. And yet, without the world, my still exists. I am the very essence of compassion. I am love without an object.
Seven. This is the instruction for the stage of the secondary clear light which dawns upon the 1/2 hour after the last outbreath.
8.
He that has in his lifetime opened the nervous shall remain easily in this state, and shall obtain transition and absorption into the clear light of the void, and there shall be a high state, and there shall arise in him also a state of lucid clarity, which is called ecstasy.
9. And in shall be less than the primary clear light.
And it shall come, let me give you that again. And it shall come to pass that the deceased shall not know that he is deceased. And the forms of consciousness in this state, same forms of consciousness as in the world of matter. And the world shall remain as before, except he recognize the clear light. And the apparition of the second stage shall not have begun, and the Lord of Death shall not have him yet in his grasp.
11.
And now shall he meditate upon me and upon my infinite compassion. And he shall be bathed in compassion if he were the reflection of the moon upon the water, and he shall be as if existing and yet not existing in himself. And he shall meditate as the clear light itself, and he shall see me before him as if I were the reflection of his own spiritual nature.
By so confronting my nature as his own, even he who would not be expected to recognize the absolute nature of reality without help to recognize it in that way.
13. Even those living in the human world, when faced with the absence of reality, may come to recognize it and thus enter the clear light at that moment.
Those who have not been shown the clear light during the lifetime and become confused by the forms of outer life, they refuse offered in love to them, and they may become hard in their hatred and fearful in their confusion, and so they fail to recognize the true nature, and so begin to spiral downward into the 6 worlds of unconscious rebirth. And this shall be brought about for those who have not learned to live.
15. And for those who resist the light, they bring it inexorably upon themselves.
16. And he may be familiar with the teaching, and yet because of the violence of the disease or the death, be thrown into upheaval so much that he comes to be unable to withstand the illusions and apparitions caused by the dissolution of the elements of consciousness. For that person, this instruction is essential.
17.
And there may be those who, although they are with the teaching, have passed into degraded forms of existence through having broken vows or failing in the performance of their essential obligations in their lifetime. And they may have become violent or obsessive, filled with passions and aggression. To them also, this instruction is
18. And in the secondary clear light, the radiant body of illusion or body Kesjan has come to be formed. And without realizing that he has died in the world, the deceased becomes, in his consciousness, clarified and lucid. And now the instruction must be applied in this state. Now, when the karmic illusions have not yet begun, the reader must guide. And in this calm, the teacher dispels the darkness of illusion as the radiance of the sun dispels the night.
19. And the secondary light shall awaken in him the body of thoughts and desires, and the inner witness shall remain as the knower of all things, and the center of imagination shall be those of his former surroundings, and he shall not know himself, nor shall he know his beginnings, nor his hand.
This ends the reading of the book two, the book of Rahman. Dan telling me to shut this off.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Now, I'd like to certainly say a lot there. Yeah, I'm gonna bring here to present her summary to begin our presentation here. I'd like to say first, I wish for the results of these small efforts to be for the benefit of all sentient beings. White Seer, you're on.
You can begin when you're ready, White Seer.
Thank you, Ivan David. I hope my voice is clear.
Very clear.
Oh, super. So good evening, everyone there. It's interesting to and it's been an enriching journey with the group to work together on the second book of the dead, of the guidebook, the Ur-Rahman. A lot of study, still some questions are in the air, probably, you know, over the time, Ivan is going to ask your personal experiences on those fronts. So I'll continue. In the very first book, chapter 2, second book of the deck called the Book of Ur-Rahman refers to verse 1 says, I am Ur-Rahman, God the Compassionate. God has compassion for all, even those who do not recognize. Every time I read this line, so I'm going to give you a little bit of personal experience. It's not something I have picked up from verses outside. It is purely a journey with the master here for the last 13 years. And I haven't really done too much study going and finding stuff from Google or other places, but I've definitely put in a lot of my personal experience in what Ur-Rahman means to me. Feel free to take it, feel free to leave it, feel free to tell me where, you know, we're on a journey together, and I think that's a part of compassion and higher emotions. So I'll go ahead with that. So for me, every time I think of the word compassion, it throws me into a silent space. I can't seem to explain it beyond a certain point. In words, yes, but when I'm actually feeling compassion and love, it's usually a spot where I'm very silent. And it does not happen without sight. So, verse 1 says, I am Ur-Rahman, God the Compassionate. God has compassion for all, even those who do not recognize him. If we, through constant and sincere efforts, and by those methods, we can become Ur-Rahman, the Compassionate One. The 99 name of Allah, I think it's in the archive, we pulled that up. These are qualities of God and have to be practiced through sincere efforts. And what it means to me personally is a lot of pause and awareness of what we seek. It's not that easy. It's been a difficult journey, but slowly pause is coming around. Everyone is part of the divine plan. Love and compassion for all, for no soul is lost. The compassionate one here looks at the pure spirit of each voyager. In the sense, when I'm looking at living in lower dimensions, there are a lot of times I may not feel love or compassion. I feel that they're creating it for themselves. And, you know, I have a this again and again. This chapter has brought it out pretty clearly that if who am I, you know, to judge another when everybody is a part of the divine plan as you know, pure with everybody. Somebody is at a different class. Somebody is maybe in high school. Somebody maybe is in nursery. But everybody is walking home. And it does get difficult to have when, you know, we see people working in lower dimensions. But that's what Ur-Rahman is teaching us, that the compassionate one here looks at the pure spirit of each voyager. Spirit makes a lot of sense, because the essence in everybody and the journey, maybe they are lost, for, you know, and if God has compassion, Ur-Rahman has compassion, we are anything here. And I think that's a part and parcel of the journey, to be silent and walk and look at the pure spirit of each voyager. The only thing which is required is open to receive the compassion, and that's all what is required. Compassion and love devoid of another object, encompassing omnipresent love coming from within. This is a very difficult statement for me, group here. Compassion and love devoid of another object. In my personal experience over the years, I have noticed that every time I'm having difficulties in life and I'm feeling bitter, it's very difficult for me to love. You know, I can see the machine reacting as Practical Book of Self has really brought to fore to me about essential self and machine. And when I'm operating out of essential self, clearly I can have. But whenever I'm operating out of the machine, I can see that there is definitely the machine looking for another object. And this state of Ur-Rahman has to be a compassion and love devoid of another object. It comes slowly, and personally for me it's come a little bit over the years after a lot of shocks, so to speak. You know, I had to be given wake up to become compassionate. It's taken me a little while to reach this point, and life has given me a number of shocks to wake up. We can avoid these shocks if we can walk. Otherwise, if you're on the spiritual journey, my personal experience has been that life does give you shocks for you to shake up and wake up and start operating in the essential self. Compassion without wanting anything in return, we can reach a state of ecstasy. And that ecstasy is beautiful. And I think we need to have compassion for our state there, because I have seen that every time I feel ecstasy or certain states, I tend to look for it. And I see that there's these desires and this greed, all this operations in the memory path, brain or machine, which I as a witness am watching, first I need to have compassion for myself. It begins there. It's been a difficult journey, you know, worse and onward. Even those who have missed the first clear light can wake up in the secondary clear light if the intention is pure. And they meditate on the absolute with sincerity, such as the compassionate one who will awaken those coming from any world in the secondary clear light. Oh, this is an interesting paragraph. I think even in the life journey, let me give you an example. In the recent past, I went through a relationship and I reacted a lot out of lower dimensions. Can I blame the other person? No. Do I look at myself? Yes. But how do I look at myself? If I look at myself and judge myself, oh, it's one more chaotic journey which is beginning within. The only way I can look at myself is with compassion, and that kind of soothes the lower dimensions, makes the journey easier and helps the mind turn inwards. And in the secondary clear light, even though whatever you've done in the lower dimensions in this life, if you can sincerely meditate on the absolute, is possible. You can wake up in the secondary clear light. As verse 14 says, those who refuse the clear light in the lifetime and have not practiced working towards the essential self will, and those familiar with the teaching and yet unable to rise and know thyself, this instruction is beneficial. It's important to read the AVD instructions to them. Now for me, this also refers to now. Before I move on to now, I think I want to correlate American Book of the Dead and American Book of the Dead guidebook. Personally, for me, American Book of the Dead has been a journey of madness. Every time I read the American Book of the Dead, I can see my machine going. American Book of the Dead guidebook is a master. It helps you calm down. And I always noticed this. Then by chambers, I'm going absolutely crazy. Oh my God, this isn't me, this isn't me, this isn't me, this isn't me.
Nice.
And when I'm reading the guidebook is telling me, hey, hold your reins, you know, bring yourself back, and here is your instruction. It's very interesting the way ABD and the American Book of the Dead guidebook is interrelated in a way, though they're different books. But I can see the kind of states I am in while reading the ABD and while reading the guidebook. So you know, for me, it is also referring to the now. We are constantly faced with aggression, violence, fear, hatred, power, money. And if we happen to recognize, we can free ourselves from taking rebirth in the lower dimension. Instructions are important. I don't know which instructions from the American Book of the Dead are to be given, but I think every and the guidebook is here to help. So having practiced in this lifetime and having worked with simple presence exercises, you know, these simple presence exercises, when you're sitting in meditation, bring the glow. You can feel it in the skin when there's this internal glow. And I think for me, this is the body care dhan, that we're crystallizing the body care dhan over the years. Instantly, I think it is... Mm-hmm. Made by us through sincere efforts and practice. We crystallize the body kizdan, the higher emotional body or the astral body through pause and through practices. Recognized and formed in the secondary life stage. Now, I think about the kizdan body, I've noticed that Gurdjieff refers a lot to the kizdan body. Some of you there, sitting there, are Gurdjieff scholars, and I'll be an amateur speaking about this because I'd rather hear it from you all about the Kezdan body. I'm still researching on it. I have found some sources on Taoism and other places where they say it's an emotional body. For me personally, it's a body which is, I think, being crystallized as we practice, and it comes to fore when it's required. Also, in this stage, in the secondary life stage, lower karmic, when you've not done anything in the lifetime, I think karmic illusions have not yet begun. We have not yet started hallucinating, or maybe not begun to move into the other chambers of the ABD. If you're guided properly in the, it's possible to dispel the darkness of illusion. It is possible even now in this lifetime, as we are practicing the American Book of the Dead, and I think the first step definitely is, and it's a very difficult journey. We need to have compassion for ourselves and those outside, and by practicing sincerely, we can dispel darkness. Just one last thing before I give it to a little bit of my personal journey that hasn't been difficult and excruciatingly painful for me to practice this. The answer is a big yes. It has been very difficult because when I'm and when I'm going through my own states of feeling compassion and wanting to bring the iron between, I cannot feel compassion. The only time I can feel compassion, and it's a higher emotion than love, is silent space and non-judgmental and extremely just in a witness state. There is no other way I think I can feel compassionate. And God is the compassionate one. Have I reached the state of no, I have experienced it sometimes, but not yet reached there. And I think by the grace of God, I'm working with the soul group, working with Ur Rahman and the other chapters, I think we'll be able to work together and reach this state. And that's what I wish for all of us here, a higher love and compassion. So that's all from my side, David, Ivan.
Okay.
I will pass it to Ivan now. Thank you for the opportunity. It's been a profound experience working together.
Thank you for sharing so much of your personal life. And sometimes that's what it takes to get behind the veil, so to speak.
Sure.
Cool job. So I'm going to go ahead and turn.
Can you hear me? Hi. David, I can't hear you.
Okay. Can you hear me now? No. We're going to turn your mic off, and Ivan will continue.
Yeah, I'd like to thank White Seer also for that. I asked her to expand a little bit on her summary because she's able to be with us next week. She has to be off for a month. So this was basically her contribution, and you can read more of her response, actually, in her personal stories that David posts for us. So going into a brief analysis, I think we're going to need you to we won't get through our whole presentation tonight. But in verses, starting again in verses 1 through, I would characterize this as the guide that announces itself, Ur Rahman, the manifestation of compassion, the manifestation or epiphany. And to me, these verses are so powerful. We state that love is, like in the first book, I think it mentions I am that I am. And
yes.
in this book, it basically says love is, and really not anything else. So we have this archive of associated texts, the 99 names of God from the Islamic tradition, some information I found out about the different words used for love in ancient Greek, a little bit on the Bhagavad Gita, the quotes from the Dalai Lama and some Buddhist sutras that Pani Michelle found for us. But now I'm going to bring on Alchemy to do her section. Then Michelle is going to read a particular sutra, Buddhist sutra, and that we may get a little further. We may get that far tonight, or we may get a little further. So Alchemy has her on some of the research that she did.
So, Alka, are you ready? Good, there you are.
She's typing.
You can start now.
You need to turn down the live stream.
Turn. Get your get closer to your mic.
Yes, is this better?
That's
much
better.
Much better. Thank you.
Okay. Great. So okay. Then I just straight away begin. I'm overwhelmed to be presenting. It's a beautiful space, and life is leading us through the beautiful journey through these exercises that we're just working together. It's real. So I'll just start straight away with the work. As Ivan said, epiphany of love is this all-pervasive presence. It is when it is truth. And Urvaiman is also a replication of love. So Urvaiman is ever present. He is the pure incarnation of light in its form. So I will take on with a couple of texts that I got. Especially Dalai Lama, he was traveling to Australia, and I happened to have a couple of texts from him, and it really helped me study this. So I would from Dalai Lama, which is very simplistic in nature, but I think it has the essence of the entire chapter. It says, if you want, I don't know if it has that sense of the chapter, but it surely does. Compassion. It's a direction put in a very, very clear and simple sentence. It says, if you want others to be happy, practice compassion. If you want to be happy, practice compassion. So it is as simple as that. The goal of making the world a better place is through practicing compassion. And another idea which is very, very close to this, if you want to be happy, practice compassion, and if you want others to be happy, practice compassion, is the idea of oneness. There is no duality here between the divine and the receiver. It's about the manifestation of the divine world that Urvaiman is working towards. As the clear light says, consulting with clear light meeting says, I am one, there is no other. So Urvaiman is the manifestation. Eternal presence, he's the form of God incarnated. And in that state of being where Urvaiman is coming in from, there is no separation from yourself and the other. So it is all a unified action, it is all a collective action that is taking place. Also in Advaita philosophy, there is a weight. Advaita is two, and Advaita is philosophy talks about non-duality. It's about becoming one with the other. And it's only when you become one with the other that you can reach closer to compassion. So, and Dalai Lama, the book says, and Dalai Lama sort of echoes is, I mean, both of them say it, is that everyone has the right to overcome suffering. This is from May 6th, NYC. It's Compassion Ethics in Difficult Times. He says, everyone has right to overcome suffering. As far as right is concerned, we are all sentient beings. That unbiased compassion, not oriented towards being or person. Unbiased compassion and infinite compassion for well-being of everybody, even your enemy, but without attachment. So this has a whole lot put in it together. At this point is that no soul shall be lost is what book 2 says. So it's about taking everybody with you with that kind of oneness and unity and erasing all these geographical or political and economic and conditioned So that state is so high wherein there is no difference between this good or bad or white or black. It's all white. It's all clear light for Rahman. And I would like to put another text here by quote here by Ram Dass, which also reflects the same. No account of the universe in its totality can be final, which leaves these other forms of consciousness quite disregarded. How to regard them is the question. So it's, I think, in Gita says, I think this quote by Ram Dass does sum up what I've been trying to say here, is that this is a state Ul Rahman is, which is the divine manifestation of absolute for everyone alike. And this sentiment has such great potential and such great capacity that it can uplift a lot of potential into its realization. And then I would like to talk about a little about one quote about the character of Ul Rahman again. Compassion in Bhagavad Gita, discourse 10, verse 11. Krishna says to Arjuna, out of mere compassion for them, I, abiding in their self, destroy the darkness born out of ignorance by the luminous lamp of wisdom. So this is the transformative clear light which, you know, is seeking to permeate through each pore of existence. And yeah, and when this light reaches to the receiver, there is a divine that is invoked within the receiver. A higher force, and you become the manifestation of the divine, you become the manifestation of the Lord, the divine in you awakens and you are compassionate. Ma Amrita, she's a hugging saint from Kerala, she said, when compassion takes birth, Krishna is born. So yes, the divine is manifested through compassion, and I think it's a very, very powerful tool.
Yeah, I think I'll stop here and then hand it over to Ivan. Thank you very much, Alchemy. And again, I'd like to emphasize for all of our colleagues in this class our extended worldwide Sangha and in this ongoing enterprise here, that it's, I think you'll find it quite worthwhile to read some of these texts. You know, it's different, it's great for me to speak about them because it brings it alive. And in fact, now I'm going to bring on a perfect segue to what Michelle would like to present here related to the tradition. Buddhist tradition regarding compassion. Okay, we'll get the phone now.
Okay, this I'm going to read to you is about how to develop compassion. And please let Geshe Langri Tangpa, holy word, slowly. This is the Lama that wrote this prayer 1,000 years ago. The 8 verses of Mahamation. By realizing that all sentient beings are more precious than wish-granting jewels, for supreme goal. May I always hold them dear to my heart. Whenever I associate with any, may I view myself as least of all. And from the depths of my heart, may I cherish others as supreme. During all actions, as soon as thoughts or delusions arise in my mind that are harmful to my others. May I stop them with effective means. As for sentient beings who are bad-natured, oppressed by negativity and pain, may I cherish them just like I am encountering a precious treasure that is difficult to find. May I accept unjust loss, such as others abusing me or slandering me out of jealousy. May I offer the victory to others. And if someone I have helped, one for whom I had great hopes, harms me without reason, may I view him as my holy guru. In brief, directly and indirectly, I offer aid and joy to all my mothers. May I secretly take upon myself all harm and suffering of my mother. May all of this be undefiled by stains of the eight mundane views. And through discernment, knowing all things as illusion, without grasping, may all be released from bondage. May everyone find lasting happiness, awakening their innate, everlasting, compassionate nature, the liberation itself. Thank you.
Ooh. This is beautiful. Maybe a moment of silence after that text. That's really quite stunning.
Let me just consult with our... Do we need to end by 8 or do we want to run overtime? Well, because we started late, but okay, well, I tell you what, if it's all right with Molly, what I want to do is reserve. We have a beautiful poem translated from Persian here from Rumi, and, you know, another section regarding this imagery of the reflection of the moon on the water and so on, and I think I'd like to start second class with that part of the presentation.
Okay.
And but especially the reason I wanted to do that is because while we have White Seer with us tonight, both White Seer and I'd like them to close this tonight's presentation with the song that they were willing, that they are willing to share with us, I believe, which I think is Sanskrit. Think about it. And then if we're okay on time, I might share a verse of a Appalachian hymn also. So, here in alchemy, are you ready?
On.
Hey, on time, I might share a verse of the Appalachian hymn also.
Go ahead and turn your live stream off.
So, White Seer and Alchemy, are you ready?
So I'm going to speak a little about this verse. This is called, and after that I will just turn the chant on. It's Asuma Sat Gamay.
Turn your live stream off.
So,
Okay now?
Yeah. Perfect.
When we were discussing about with Rahman, we were talking about how this is a journey towards clear light and how this is a journey, this is a logical progression towards redemption, and I think this particular chant that we are going to play now is very, very close to that particular observation. The is Astoma Sabgamaya Tamsoma Jyotirgamaya Rityurma Amritam Gamaya, which means from asat, from non-truth to truth, from darkness, from tamas, tamsuma, from tamas, darkness, to light, jyoti, from rityur, from amrit, which is the divine potion for redemption. So here goes chanted faith from darkness to light, from untruth to truth, death to redemption.
We'll continue next week, and I'll save the second portion also.
Thank you.
I got off the hook.
Thank you, the entire group that has put in an enormous amount of effort, and I'll begin posting their research in the next few days, including the recording of this international participation that we've had here.
Great. Yeah, and I'd like to say that it's just, you know, partly because of the technological issues and just how together we didn't have, we came out without a question and answer period tonight, but I hope that you will just write down or store any comments or questions that you have so we can have during next week's class.
Thank you for coming, and we look forward to seeing you next Wednesday at 7 o'clock. Good night.
Thanks for hosting.
Thank you.